This is The Bible Show.
Welcome to The Bible Show Daily. We believe in the power of God's Word, and we want to be in the Bible each and every day. So where are we at in the Bible today, Sam?
Today, we're in an Advent series, and we're looking at Bethlehem for this week. And one of the things I want to focus on for today's episode is how Bethlehem is always a place for the lowly. That's the reputation of this place, you know, going all the way back to the beginning. And so I think one of the verses that highlights this really well is Micah 5:2, which prophesies that the Messiah will come from Bethlehem.
And here it is. "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days."
That's right. So let's jump in. Bethlehem, where is it mentioned in the Bible? Because it really is this little podunk town. It's a shepherding town, it doesn't have a lot going for it. And yet we hear it a lot. For instance, we heard it in the story of Ruth and Boaz. And what's the whole gist of that is you have this, you know, Moabitess that everybody should look down upon, the outcast, the one who comes from the incestuous lineage, and yet she's going to be exalted, brought into the messianic line, and she's exalted even though she was low, and that's where the story comes from. But the next to Jesus, the next most famous person to come from Bethlehem is King David, and he is going to be one of the major figures of the Old Testament. In fact, if you look at the most cited figures from the Old Testament, there's three of them, and they have a lot, and then the next one is much less. But it's Abraham, Moses, and David. Those are your big figures of the Old Testament. And so I want to just read real quick the story of David when Samuel is told, "I want you to go into Bethlehem because you're going to anoint a king." This is 1,000 years before Jesus. It's before the prophet Micah, but you're going to go to this podunk shepherd town of Bethlehem, and I want you to find the king, right? And this is 1 Samuel 16, verses 6 to 13, and just listen to this. "When they came, he looked on Eliab," so the oldest son, "and thought, 'Surely this is the Lord's anointed, he's right before me.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" So now all of a sudden, if you're thinking David and heart, there's verses that jump out at you, right? David is a
man after God's own heart.
Man after God's own heart. He's passionate, he writes the Psalms. He's an artist. His heart is for the Lord. And so the Lord is surveying all the talent and all the skills and all the appearances, and he notices in him, that guy's been out there shepherding sheep and writing Psalms, and man, the worship that he's had, and he's trained on the harp. He taught himself. He sings my songs. That's the guy I want to be king, because he's the one who has the heart nearest to me, even though he's unimpressive and he's young. So verse 8, it said, "Then Jesse called," if it's not him, maybe Abinadab, and he made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, right? And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." They were impressive. None of them are the one. And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "Well, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he's keeping the sheep." In other words, he didn't even think.
To bring him along.
Of course not him. He's young. For whatever reason, he's not even worthy to be paraded along with the other 7. And he's out keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, "Well, send him and get him, for we will not sit down until he comes." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and he had beautiful eyes, and he was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed. I love this line. The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward, and Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And so from this, one of the things that you get, we've talked about, Bethlehem is the place where the unexpected triumphs. Mm. It's the place where the outcast, the lowest, the youngest, comes and triumphs. And I love the fact that God has laid this foundation throughout the Old Testament, because when you get to the life of Jesus, it's the most unexpected.
Yeah.
Right? So you have God who comes in the flesh. And if you just knew that and you had never read a word of the New Testament, what would you expect to find when God becomes a man?
Just awesomeness.
The awesomeness everywhere.
Yeah, like regal.
Yeah, and kings are coming in a golden crib and everything is going to be fanfare and fireworks and everybody's going to be around and just can't wait to see God in the flesh. And God comes and he's ordained none of that. Like all of the people before him and from Bethlehem, he comes and there's no room for him at the inn. I think about this. God is born in a dank cave with animals, the smell of feces around him, like very unpleasant, undesired. There's no royalty. There's no king. There's no procession. There's no horse-drawn carriages. There's no priest. There's no prophets that are there heralding like, oh, our Lord has come and he's saving us. His mother has gotten pregnant out of wedlock. He's not going to be a stately-looking man. He's poor. He's going to be homeless. He's mocked and publicly ridiculed. He's going to weep over Jerusalem, longing for the people to get it. They don't. They walk away from him. He hangs out with tax collectors and sinners, and people call him a drunkard because there's people who are drinking around him and prostitutes. His disciples are uneducated fishermen, and yet this is the one over whom God says, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. It is this one that the angels appear to the shepherds and say, glory to God in the highest and peace now to his people on earth. This is the one who's going to forge peace between heaven and earth. And when he comes, he chooses to make himself lowly. Why? Because the Bible tells us that he intentionally entered into the lowest rungs of the human experience so that when we cry to him, there's no experience he can't relate to. He knows what it's like to weep. He knows what it's like to be poor. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to go through the pains that we do, and he ordained it for himself. He came from the tribe and the city that means nothing into a life of circumstances where we would have looked at that and gone, no chance, that's God. And yet he did that. Why? Because he's showing us that it's precisely the lowly that are exalted in the economy of God. So what about this jumps out at you most?
I think for me, just a needed reminder, this is more often than I get it, because this world really does kind of reshape that. It kind of distorts that. It kind of makes it think it's all about me, and it's all about this place, and it's all about getting things and accruing things and just leveling myself up. But when you come to this, you're like, oh no, the way of Jesus is one of humility. Mm-hmm. The way of Jesus is of pouring out and not taking in. And just a good reminder today that's what I'm after today.
Yeah. And I think for me, I would say like when Jesus took the incarnation upon himself, you know, to go from reigning in heaven to become a man in a fallen world that's going to experience all these pains, to then go to a cross where you're going to go to the very depths of hell and the wrath of God itself. Like all of that descent, you know, Jesus doesn't just show his love for us on the cross. Like he shows his love because it cost him a lot to become a man. He set aside a lot of privilege to become a man, to enter into our experience, and then even to go as far as the cross. But Christmas is part of the sacrificial love of God. And a lot of times we don't think of it that way, like, oh, a baby's born. Nice. You're beginning of your life. No. This is God who has taken on all this to be humiliated like that as a baby for us.
That's beautiful. Well, let's pray us out. Lord, remind us today that this is your way. Let us see that you're the God who came to earth for us, everything that you gave up, God. Let us know that kind of love. Let us experience that kind of love. But now, Lord, even we repent of all the ways we've chased after the exact opposite of this, where we've tried to make ourselves great, where we've tried to make it all about us. Lord, let us come back to you. Fill us with your spirit, God. Let us know that the way of humility is the way that you want us to live in this life. We just thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Bible Show. If you enjoyed this podcast, please remember to like and subscribe and leave a kind review to help us in the world of tech algorithms. Also, feel free to share with a friend. We'll see you next week with another episode of The Bible Show.